Hi, everybody. Welcome to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report call for June of 2020. And wow, what a time we are in. It's extraordinary times, and I'm so happy that we're able to gather in community and share energy, talk. It's powerful for me to be able to be with you energetically and to feel into, you know, what we're all going through, what's happening in the collective, and to create a collaboration. These events are a collaboration, and I love how we all put our energy in together, and what comes forward is what we all need. There's so much that could be talked about, and we do a lot of talking on these calls, and I know most people have been on the calls for a long time, but if you happen to be new, what I always tell people is that even though we do a lot of talking, one of the most important things that happens on these calls is a transmission of energy. I'm sitting here in our living room in South Africa with my beloved Leslie. She's blowing kisses to you all right now. And she has chosen, as most of you know, to remain in silence now. And she's giving the Shakti transmission, the transmission of healing energy, while I do the talking. She has requested for the last several years that I do the talking now. And so that's what's happening. And so during these calls, we invite you to just go yin and relax and receive. Yin is the feminine principle, and it's receiving energy. So really, it's about relaxing and receiving this beautiful transmission of healing, loving energy. It's the energy of unconditional love. And Leslie and I both send it, and we send it from this power place where we are. We're at the foot of a sacred mountain called Modimolle, which means God is here. It's the locals feel it's one of the most spiritual places on the planet, they say, where the mythology is that the world was birthed right here at this mountain. And it's at the bottom end of the Nilotic Meridian, which means the longitudinal line that goes up through the Nile in Egypt and through the pyramids and the Sphinx. And there are many sacred sites along this line. It's a straight line. And there, Leslie's talking to me. What? What are you saying? Talking about all the sacred sites along the line. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So we're talking about the line of gold. In the local language, it's called Lalunga Manga Kwatsi, which means the river of gold. And there's also physical gold along this line, but psychically you see it as a river of gold. And it's literally the spinal fluid of the earth. It's the axis mundi, the Shushumna of the earth, Shushumna being the core, the central meridian, because Africa is the continent that never moved. Well, the rest drifted away, and Africa remained in the same place. So we're in a power place, and we invite you to tune into that energy. It's a very grounding, powerful, healing energy that comes from here. So again, we invite you to tune in and relax into it. So I think without further ado, we seem to be going into the meditation already. I can feel that we've invoked this meditative energy. So we'll start with a guided meditation, and then I will share, and then we'll open up. People have written in questions. And today, actually, if there's time, we're going to open the microphone and some live questions. We've not done that the last few months, and it's been a really a wonderful, refreshing thing. We got a lot of very positive feedback about not having the live questions, just having written in questions. So if there's time, we will open up to a few questions or sharings. The reason for this, I'm just getting in strong intuition that this might be a good thing, given that we're in such extraordinary times. And so I would invite you, if you feel called to share or ask a question live today, that you write it down in advance so that you can be very concise and clear. Part of the issue that we have with live questions is that it's hard to be concise, and it sometimes takes too much time. So we do invite you to share and ask a question, but be as concise as you possibly can. And it helps to write it out in advance. So use the time, if you want to ask or share, to write. Okay, so for now, I invite you to get quiet and sit or lie down, get comfortable in a meditative posture. It's good to keep the spine straight while remaining comfortable. And I know during these calls, very often we need to multitask, but this is a great opportunity to just stop multitasking for a little while, for 20 minutes or so, while we go into a deep guided meditation together. Give yourself the gift of relaxation and receiving this beautiful energy. It's an energy that we all contribute to. It's a field that we actually all contribute to, even though Leslie and I and the Sacred Mountain are transmitting from South Africa. We all contribute. And whether you're with us live today or not, if you're listening to this recording in the future, it doesn't matter, because we're all part of the field and we're all connected beyond time and space. So I invite you to take a few long, deep breaths. Close your eyes and deeply relax. Just let go. With the in-breath, draw in all the light and life force that surrounds you. And with the exhale, breathe out any tension in the body. Breathe in the light. And breathe out the shadow. Breathe in this present moment. And breathe out any worries about past or future. Breathe in love. And breathe out any places that feel dark or heavy. Fear, for example. Breathe out any fear or worry. Continue your breathing, and I'll do a guided meditation where we relax our muscles, all the muscles of the body, as we always do. So visualize a warm, viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey, and feel it relaxing all of the muscles that it touches, the scalp and the forehead, and feel it pouring over your brow, relaxing your eyes and all the muscles, the dozens, maybe hundreds of tiny little muscles around your eyes. Just feel all that tension around the eyes letting go. Let your eyeballs drop back into their sockets, completely relaxing. Feel this warm liquid pouring over your ears, in the back of your head, in your cheeks and your nose, in your mouth, in your jaw. And feel the back of your tongue relaxing. Focus for a moment on the back of the tongue and just allow that part to relax, because when you do that, the whole region of the body relaxes, the back of the head and the neck and that jaw area, all relax. Just feel a deep warmth penetrating your body, relaxing all of these muscles. Feel the liquid pouring over your shoulders, down your neck, over your shoulders, and relaxing your shoulders. You can also visualize an angel or an ascended master standing behind you, massaging your shoulders, pouring light into your shoulders. So just take a big, deep inhale and breathe light into your shoulders. It's a place where we hold so much tension. Feel the tension being massaged out of you as you consciously breathe light into that area. And feeling that warmth going into your chest and your upper back, down your upper arms, down your lower arms, to your hands and fingers, filling you up with light and warmth and relaxation. Feel liquid pouring over your torso, relaxing your stomach and your lower back and your pelvis. Deeply, deeply letting go any tension, especially in the psoas muscles, the two muscles that run down the front hips on either side. That's also an area where if you focus on that place, relaxing it, relaxes the whole pelvic region and the lower back. So just stay with that for a moment and feel the deep, deep relaxation that happens in that whole region. Breathing the light in there, breathing out the tension. Feel the light pouring down your legs, relaxing your legs, upper legs and lower legs, ankles, feet, and toes. Deeply, deeply letting go. Just feel all the tension draining out of your body as you relax each muscle. And now I will be quiet for a moment or two, and let's all do a scan of the body from head to toes and breathe light into any area that's still holding on to tension. And breathe that tension right out of the body, just releasing, relaxing, letting go completely any tension remaining in the body. Relaxation is the foundation for the enlightening of our consciousness. And we forget that sometimes. So please give yourself the gift right now, this present moment, to really let go and relax. Just forget about everything that you have to do. Everything that already happened. Just be present, receptive, and relax from head to toes. I invite you now to put your attention in the center of your head in a place called the Cave of Brahman. And if you're not familiar with where that is, I'll tell you now. I know most people know how to find that place. Go ahead and find it if you know how. If you're new to this, you can find the point between your eyebrows and slightly above, which is the third eye, and then draw an invisible line straight back from there into the middle of your head. And then also draw an invisible line between your ears. And where those two lines cross, that is the center of your head. It's where the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus reside. And when you put your attention in that place, which is called the Cave of Brahman, Brahman being one of the names of God, when you put your attention there, there's a magic thing that happens, and that is that thought stops. You find yourself very quiet inside and still inside mentally. When you find that place, you also feel an expansion of the energy that is there in the middle of the head. The more you put your attention there, the more the expansion grows. You might feel the energy expanding out to fill your entire cranium, entire inside of your skull. You might find that it expands beyond that. You might feel the energy in the aura around your head or in your crown chakra. And it's okay if you don't. If you're new to this or if you're not feeling it, it's okay. Just set your intention that you would like to, and one day it will happen. And for now, you can visualize. Just be patient and non-judgmental of yourself or anyone. So just feel that expansion happening and feel that center point where there's this powerful energy that emanates. And in fact, this place, it's a place where we can connect with the cosmos. The pineal gland is actually like the physical eye in many ways. It has a retina. It has all kinds of, it has an anatomy that's similar to the physical eyes. And they say this is the eye for inner sight. It's the place that connects us with the invisible realms. that we can see into those worlds. Psychic awareness happens here, but it's also a place of great peace, great stillness. It's a place where we can access unity consciousness very easily. It's a wonderful tool to use in times like this. If you feel you are disturbed, you know, if you feel it's just too chaotic in the world for you, or there's too much unknown, you can get quiet for a few minutes and put your attention here. And it will help to calm you, it will help to center you, it will help you to find your connection with the source, which is who you truly are. So just allow that to continue to emanate and expand, and allow it to open your crown chakra like a funnel out and up on top of your head, opening up and out beautifully, unfolding like a thousand-petaled lotus on top of your head, unfurling each petal one by one. This is our connection with the celestial realms. With our divine nature. So feel that happening as well. And allow this to unfold naturally while we take our attention from here and drop it down the center of your body, down the central meridian, known as the Sushumna, which is the central core of enlightenment that is within each one of us. Like a fluorescent tube that runs right in front of the spine. So just take your attention and drop it all the way down the body, all the way down to the root chakra, which is the place at the base of the spine, the perineum. And feel your attention go there and feel how the root chakra naturally opens. And drop your grounding cord from there down into the center of the earth, just like the root of a tree. You can actually visualize yourself like a tree and feel your roots going down into the earth. It's a very grounding, anchoring, centering feeling, and it helps you to feel stable and safe, anchored to the earth, supported by the earth. So drop your main root line, your grounding cord, all the way down to the center of the earth, and wrap it around the core of the earth, the iron crystal at the core of the earth. Feel gravity pulling you gently and lovingly towards the earth. And feel where your body touches the earth via the chair or the floor. And just feel how supported you are by Mother Earth. Feel that support. Feel yourself relaxing so deeply, letting go into the arms of the mother, just like a little baby, relaxing into the arms of its mother, feeling so safe and held and nurtured. Just let go. Let go and receive. Receive her love. Receive the transmission of healing energy and love that's coming to you now. Fill up with it. Fill up with it from beneath. Feel the earth energy coming up into you through the soles of your feet. And feel the divine energy of the celestial realms filling you up like a golden white light raining down from above. Feel it filling up your crown chakra and your aura, filling you up so completely. Every cell of your body is absorbing this beautiful, nurturing energy. Trillions of little miniature sponges, these cells, soaking up the light, soaking up the earth energy and the divine love in the celestial realms. Filling you up so much that it fills up your arms and your hands and your fingers, and the light shoots out the tips of your fingers. Filling you up so much, it fills up your legs and your feet and your toes, and the light shoots out the tips of your toes. You're so full of light and energy and love. Just absorbing this beautiful, beautiful energy that we're being given right now. Take a moment. I'll be quiet for a moment. Just receive. And now I'd like you to do a visualization with me, please. I'd like you to visualize in front of you, there's a table with two objects on it, one on your right and one on your left. And the one on the left is uncertainty. And the one on the right is certainty. They can look like whatever you want them to. It might be a color or a form. It might be in the shape of something you recognize. But whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. Just see these forms. Maybe they're sort of formless blobs. But whatever they are, see them as a polarity held in place magnetically, like a positive-negative attraction to each other. One is uncertainty, or the unknown, you could say, and one is certainty, or the known. So for a moment, just feel them both. What do they feel like to you? What does each one feel like? Is there one that you're more attracted to, and there may be one that you're a little more repulsed to? So now, as you feel and see this polarity in front of you, and you become aware of your feelings towards each side, just make a mental note of your experience. You might find yourself very attracted to one side and very repulsed by the other. Maybe you've got a neutral witness that can see both of them with dispassion and without much charge to either side. But whatever it is, just to make a note of your feelings and your thoughts around this polarity that's in front of you. because this is one that we're all dealing with right now. The whole world is in a time of such great uncertainty that it would behoove us to make our peace with this polarity. So hold the dynamic tension between the two. And when we do that, when we hold the dynamic tension between a pair of opposites, and do it long enough, eventually what happens is a third option emerges. Something we could never have predicted, but something new presents itself from the subconscious realms. And now, above these two, see another form forming an equilateral triangle so that uncertainty and certainty form the baseline of the triangle, and the ascended point at the top is a feeling, it's a vibration that helps bring this polarity into an ascended balance. And what is that for you? Can you feel? What word is that? How would you define that form there that you see in front of you? Maybe it's trust or faith or surrender, letting go, freedom, perhaps. Whatever it is that you're feeling is okay. There's no right and wrong here. This is just an opportunity for each of us to feel what the ascended balance of this polarity is for us. And as you feel your way into this exercise, it might continue for a little while, but I invite you when you're ready to make your peace with this triad. Make your peace with it. Hold the dynamic tension between the polarity and see and feel this ascended balance which reconciles this polarity and brings it up into a more neutral, higher place in consciousness and in the body. So when you're ready, draw these objects into your body and you can feel, visualize the polarity merging with your third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, and feel the ascended balance in the heart area. Feel the merging of that ascended balance state into your body. Feel whether it's trust or faith or surrender or peace, freedom, whatever it is. Just feel it coming into you. Draw it in, invite it in. Welcome it into your heart and allow it to grow inside you. Allow it to help you feel more at peace with this polarity, more reconciled with it. So as you sit with this and allow this to unfold, I'm going to just say a prayer and an invocation for our gathering today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the angels and archangels, all the guides and teachers, lineage masters, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, gods and goddesses, all the beings in the invisible realms who have our highest soul's purpose in mind. We invite you into this call with us, surround us in love and support, wrap us up in a cocoon of golden white light and healing energy, unconditional love. Fill us up during the call. Even as we speak, allow us to receive. Help us to receive. And we give thanks, knowing that this is so. We give thanks for the grace that we receive. We give thanks for the opportunity to be together today, to share our love. Please guide the call into the highest love and the highest wisdom. Hold our hands as we walk this path, which is full of challenges and changes right now. Guide us into our soul's highest purpose. And so it is. We give great thanks. Alala ho. Alala ho is Tibetan, and it means, isn't it wonderful? Alala ho. So now I invite you to slowly come back into the room and into your body. And if you would like to, you can wiggle your fingers and toes and slowly open your eyes. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to this extraordinary time that we're all in together here. This path that we're walking as a collective is just beyond what any of us could ever have imagined, I'm sure. I want to start today's call with a poem that I found. This poem was written by a Zen Buddhist priest, a black woman named Earthalyn Manuel, which I found online. And it's called Darkness is Asking to be Loved. By now we have lost the tiny sense of peace we created for ourselves. Our composure is an idea long gone, reflected in the grinding of our teeth and locked jaws. If you are still holding up, trying to meditate, I invite you to fall down. Fall down on the earth. Come down here and smell the sweet terror on your skin, overpowering the scent of agarwood. Come down on all fours and greet the darkness that reeks of death, reaches out its desperate hand and asks to be loved as much as we love the light it gives. Breathe for those gasping for air. Come down here on this earth and breathe for those gasping for air. Hear each scream as a bell that never stops ringing. Bury your face in the mud of this intimate place, in this shared disease and tragedy. If you have nothing to say, now is the time for the deeper silence honed that does not apologize or seek something kind to say. And yet the deeper silence is not quiet. It whispers in the dark and wakes you from the nightmare. Come down here and be still on the earth. Let loose shame, rage, guilt, grief, pain, and make a river of it. Come down here. Catch the love poems hidden in the shouting. Watch the unfolding of the seasons from the ground. Look up at the sky, and when it hurts from being down here so long, roll over and see what you couldn't see from the other side. Breathe out loud. No particular posture needed. Fall down onto the earth. Fall off your soft cushions. Come down here. Come down here where the only lullaby tonight will be the sound of your heart drumming the song you were born with. I found that especially beautiful and poignant in the light of the shadow of racism that we're all working with right now. Again, her name, if you want to look that up online and reread it, her name is, find it here, Earthlyn, like the word earth, L-Y-N, Earthlyn Manuel, M-A-N-U-E-L. She's a Zen Buddhist priest. So yeah, the shadow of racism has been uncovered with the death of George Floyd in the past however long, days, week, whatever it's been, I can't remember. But the suppressed unconscious has erupted around the earth. The anger and the pain and the grief and the rage and the fear and all of these emotions are up for all of us. And when there's an eruption like this collectively, it's like when you grieve the loss of a loved one personally. There's usually a lot of pent-up emotion from the past that has been suppressed, and it's an opportunity. It's a time for all of this latent emotion to be expressed, to be released and let go of. And that's what's happening to the collective right now and to each of us personally, an eruption. There's so much suppressed rage and sadness and emotional pain from centuries of slavery and injustice and domination in one form or another. And it's not just slavery, it's not just people of color, but it's everybody. It's anybody who has ever suffered oppression in any form. Women, gay people, indigenous people, the list is a long one. So anyone who's witnessed the oppression as well, it's essentially everybody on the planet is what we're talking about. It's affected all of us. I remember Leslie long ago used to talk about her first 30 years of life here in South Africa under apartheid. And she used to tell me, this was a surprise to me when she spoke about it. She said, it's not just the black people of South Africa who suffered. It was everybody, the white people too. Nobody was spared the trauma and the wounding of racism because everybody witnessed the horror of it and the injustice of it. So I feel her words are very apropos for all of us now, because we're all going through this together. And it's like we're like tuning forks resonating to this vibration. So what has erupted lately is all of our unexpressed emotion from millennia of patriarchy, thousands of years of this dynamic that we call the victim-tyrant dynamic playing out, thousands of years of what we could call the abuse of power. And it's a great gift, actually, to be able to release right now in this way. The gift and opportunity here is to cleanse and to clear ourselves and to release. It's an opportunity to let go of so much old stuff and an opportunity, excuse me, to purge personally and collectively for all of us. And I have to say, this hasn't been easy. I don't think for anybody has it been easy. It's not been easy for me or anybody that I'm in touch with. And I'm not sure about you, but most people that I know are going through emotional challenges, challenges with the body, challenges with sleep. I know for me personally, the past few weeks, I've felt like there's been a disturbance in the force. Remember that from Star Wars when Obi-Wan Kenobi said there's a disturbance in the force. We started feeling that here a while ago before all of this erupted, but it's definitely happening. And especially I share this with you just in case it's happening with you. It might be comforting to know, I suppose, that the way this works, this is what Leslie taught me long ago, the way this works is that we process so much in our sleep. A lot of this work happens at night. So a lot of the stuff that we can't necessarily deal with for whatever reason, whether we don't have the time or we don't have the inclination, we don't have the inclination for some reason, we'll do it at night. So you might, if you find yourself having disturbed sleep or you wake up feeling like you aren't rested, you know, you maybe like you felt like you worked all night, that's because that's what happened. So we're all doing what we can to help. It's not just personally, it's not just our personal shadow. Of course, it's that, but it's also that we each help in whatever capacity we can to siphon off the shadow of the collective karmas that we're working with on the planet right now. So just be aware that all of us, I say you because it's everybody who's listening to this. I'm sure if you're listening to this, that you're in this soul group, and this is what we do. You know, we help with that. So just, you know, we can each relax a little bit knowing that this is our gift. This is something that we give as a gift. And so don't beat yourself up for, you know, not doing the things you need to do to sleep properly, or, you know, something must be wrong with you because you're not feeling right, or, you know, that you're having such a hard time, you must be doing something wrong. No. But this is, this means you're actually doing something right. You know, you are holding the light in the best way that you possibly can. And so just be kind with yourself and practice your self-care, extra self-care. Do the things you really need to do to make sure that you're okay, because it's a very intense time. So I also want to say it's been inspiring as well as difficult. It's been inspiring to see the examples of things like peaceful protests that have gone well around the planet, where Black protest together peacefully, or the police and the protesters join together in solidarity. I'm not sure if you've seen any of those little videos or stories that are going around the internet, but they're very inspiring. And what I see is that this is an expression of the new paradigm of the heart. You know, these people are all saying that we stand for unity. We stand for truth and justice and peace, and we're coming together in our grief and in compassion for those who've been oppressed, and in our love for each other and in respect for all of humanity. And this is the bridging that's happening. This is the bridging of hearts and minds. And we're all doing it in our way, but to see it actually played out in the U.S. especially, but around the world, it's just beautiful. It's deeply touching. So as these kinds of world events continue to erupt on the planet, and they will continue, I believe, and as they bring about the personal and collective changes in the coming times, it's important for us to remember that these are opportunities, that there's nothing wrong, quote unquote, wrong, you know, that this has its perfection, even though it's difficult, but it has the gift and the opportunity of allowing us to release and to let go of the old suppressed emotions and the thoughts that no longer serve us. We're letting go of so much. So this is the gift of this time. And I invite you to see that, as well as grieving, as well as feeling the anger or the fear or whatever else it is that we need to feel. One of the other things I wanted to talk about today is about witnessing the victim tyrant consciousness. And it's important for all of us to practice witnessing as we do this. And I know we talk about witnessing so much, so please forgive me if this is a reminder for you, but I know we can all be reminded about witnessing from time to time. So we feel what we need to feel, but we remember that we're not the emotion. We remember that we're the perceiver. We are the vessel through which the emotions pass. We're the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. We remember that we're a soul having a human experience, and we remain in our neutral observer when we witness. We don't make the emotions or the situation real. As much as possible, we remember that we're living in a virtual reality, and that we are a soul having human experiences and learning our lessons in a human body. And the purpose of all of this is actually to enjoy ourselves, believe it or not. So that's an important part of this, to remember that aspect. And one day we drop the illusion of the physical body and we return to the source, which is our true home, just like slipping off an overcoat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the witness. And as we witness, so much of what we're releasing right now is around victim tyrant consciousness. And we're going to be focusing on that much more in the upcoming virtual course that I'm going to be offering in September through November, which I'll share more with you about later. But for now, I think it's enough to say that all of us, everybody on the planet, is being given an opportunity to release old beliefs, old emotional states and constructs in consciousness around victimization, around perpetrators abusing victims. So if we could say that there's one primary lesson that we're all learning, all souls, during this past 6,000 years, the era of patriarchy or system of separation, whatever you want to call it, it's that we're all learning lessons about power and especially about the abuse of power. So it's also really important for us to remember right now that if you're listening to this, what it probably means is that you have very likely played out all of the roles in your many lifetimes on Earth. We've all been the victim and the tyrant. We've been the perpetrators and we've been the ones who've been abused. And the truth is we've had to play both of these roles in order to come to this time that we're in right now, in order to be able to let go of the entire construct and consciousness of victim-tyrant consciousness. We have to have played both. Otherwise, it would be impossible to let go of. So this construct, the victim-tyrant construct, or the archetype, whatever you like to call it, it's the hallmark of the third dimension, which we're leaving. So we're in this mass graduation right now, all of us. And it's everybody's opportunity to live through another round of it, to witness it and feel it, feel the emotions, and to watch, you know, as we all watched this man being murdered by the ones who are supposed to protect us. It makes me cry to talk about. But as we all watched that, we were horrified at the injustice and the unfairness. And of course, you know, the anger, the hatred, the blame, the rage, the shame, whatever it is that we all felt, it's critical to witness that stuff and feel it and let it pass through. We process it in whatever way we need to, and we let it go. And I think that's the key, is that we don't suppress it. We feel it, and we let it go. We don't hang on to it either. We don't make it real. We remember the witness and let it go. So I know that that's a reminder for most of you, and so I'm not going to elaborate any further. I know you know what I'm talking about, but I hope that's helpful. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about tonight is the uncertainty. And we touched on this a little bit in the guided meditation just now. But as we all know, it's an extraordinary time of uncertainty in the world. And everything that we've known, everything that we relied on, that we thought was stable in the world, none of it seems to be that way anymore. Nothing feels assured. So I think it's important to just name that and to acknowledge that uncertainty has a profound effect on our consciousness. And so that's why I want for that guided meditation today is to just bring that into our awareness at an energetic level and feel our feelings around uncertainty. And as most of us know from our studies with Leslie and Corlite, the ego is programmed for control and to try to keep things the same as much as possible. And it resists and it fears change. And that's just the nature of the ego. It doesn't mean it's wrong or it's bad. It's just the programming. It's just the nature of the ego. And we receive this programming from a very young age. Some of us have it more than others. And if you happen to be one of the lucky ones and you welcome change, I know a lot of artists love change. So if you're one of those, just enjoy it. Enjoy this time because there's so much change in store for all of us. Everything is up for review and change right now, personally and collectively. So the new paradigm of the heart that we've all prayed for so long is part of the change. It's what's manifesting right now. I know sometimes it doesn't seem like, but we're literally seeing the old systems that no longer serve us crumbling before our eyes. We're watching the dissolution of the old ways. And that has to happen in order for the new to be born, for the new ways, the new systems to arise. We have to watch the old ones dissolve. So my guess is that everybody listening to this knows that there won't be any kind of a returning to normal after this. I think we all know that whatever we thought was normal was based in an old paradigm. It was based in what we would consider a lack of love and a lack of equality and fairness and a lack of peace and a lack of all these higher qualities of the heart that we've been naming. So now, when we go back, but we're not going back, we're going forward. So now is the time for a new normal. And we're all building that. With every action we take, with every thought we think, with every release that we make, we're building the new normal. We're building this paradigm of the heart, this new paradigm. As my friend Charles Eisenstein likes to say, the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. And this happens inside us as individuals. We build this new paradigm of the heart inside us first. And then when enough of us live that inside, that's when we start to see the new paradigm of the heart manifesting more and more in the world. And I feel it's important for us to remember that this new paradigm of the heart begins with each of us as individuals. It begins inside us and in our personal reality. We manifest it for ourselves in our outer world because we're living it inside. So first, we live the love and we live in the witness state as much as we possibly can, which is a state of neutrality and balance and clarity. And as we do this more and more, we become an embodiment of these things that we want to see so much in the world, the peace and compassion and generosity. And that's when we practice the higher qualities of the heart, like gratitude and joy, love. And the outer reality starts to reflect all of these beautiful states back to us. And that's when we start to draw people to us and situations to us that reflect all of that. So I feel like this is one of the most important things that I wanted to share today. And that is specifically that we don't have to wait for the new paradigm of the heart to manifest in the world. It's possible for each of us to live in that new paradigm of the heart right now, even when the old reality of the world appears to be crumbling and we see such shocking events and so much challenge and change happening, even when so many people in the world and even people in our immediate circles are caught in all the deep states, you know, all the negative emotions and the anger and the fear and what have you, we don't have to do that. We don't have to be that way. We can practice the higher states. We can be clear enough that when we clear the ego and we're clear enough inside, all of that other stuff passes through us. So when we've processed our shadow and released our own wounding and our own patterning, that's when we become free. I want to say that again. So that's when we're free. We are free individuals. We start feeling that freedom. We're free to live in love. We're free to live in peace and joy and be the example of those things for other people who are stuck in the third dimension, stuck in the illusion of the world. So we become the beacon of light for others. I remember, I think I've said this before, but I know the Dalai Lama once said something like, even in the face of great challenges, we can live in joy. And I hold on to that because that's my practice. I know that I'm supposed to practice that. And we talk this a lot on our calls. And I know that that's not easy. And certainly nobody's recommending suppression of emotion. You know, when it's time to grieve or feel anger or fear or whatever it is, you feel that, but you let it pass through. So I feel this is really what Leslie's always talked to us about. And what she always has said is that the greatest gift we can give the world is our own awakened self. So to me, that feels like the essence of what is happening for us right now. We're being invited to that. And before I shift gears here, I know I've been talking for a while and I'm going to wrap up soon, but I want to just come back to uncertainty for a moment before we complete on that subject. This is some home practice that we can all do. Maybe for the next month, you can try this out. And there are three ways of being in this time of enormous uncertainty and in the midst of the unknowns and all the change. So one of the ways is we don't try to control it. It's not possible. So number one, we can practice that. Try our best not to control it. We can't anyway, but like to make that conscious and to actually practice it is important. Number two, I wrote these notes down, so forgive me, I'm going to refer to my notes here. So number two, remember that in the uncertainty, the way is shown to us step by step. So that's essentially practicing faith. It's practicing trust, knowing that as we face these challenging times of unknown and uncertainty, we have to practice our faith and our trust that we are going to be shown step by step how this works, how this unfolds, and it will be okay, whatever it looks like. And number three, it's not possible to make it the way we want it to be anymore. So we need to start letting go of the ideas of holding on to an old way that we wanted it to be. That's finished. So letting go, practicing that, letting go. So I hope that's helpful. And one last topic I'll share before we open up to questions. It's along the same lines, actually, but it's about the two narratives. I talked to so many friends lately about this subject, the two narratives that we hear. Same set of facts, two narratives. And it's really about looking at polarization. So the polarizations of the world have become so extreme. And like one simple example is to wear a mask or not to wear a mask. And that has come to symbolize so much about the division in our world. The shadow side of racism that has erupted has pulled off the scab of that old wound, and it has highlighted the polarity of black and white and the entire history of that divide. And so, like we've been discussing, the victim and the tyrant are especially up. Those are two narratives as well. That's another polarity. And the list of polarities is a long one, but I just wanted to name a few of the main ones that we're working with right now so that perhaps each of us who listens to this call, we can each in our own way process these polarities. We can hold the dynamic tension between the sides and allow for a third way to manifest. So black and white, authority and subservience, right and wrong, good and evil, masculine and feminine, conservative and liberal, wealthy and poor, haves and have-nots, powerful and disempowered, uncertainty and certainty, the known and the unknown. Those are the only ones I wrote down, and the list is long, so you might make your own list. You probably already have if you've been doing this work for any period of time, but I think it's one of the most powerful and important practices that we could all be doing right now, and that is holding that dynamic tension between these polarities and allowing for the third option to manifest. And right now, we have these two narratives going on for most situations, and I think just trying to everybody, I'm sure you all know this, but the mainstream media is part of it. You know, there's a spin on any story that goes one way, and then you hear an alternative take on the story that's completely the opposite way. And it can be crazy making. You know, there are times when you look at each one and you see the merit of each side, and you see that there are facts that back up each side, and you don't know what to believe. So it's my belief that nobody really knows what's going on, and that we need to be very aware of taking sides, any side, even if it seems like it's true and right, and yes, this person's bad and this one's good. That's a dangerous practice to be indulging in right now. So any story that we hear nowadays, I feel like we need to really tread lightly and really practice the witness. It's a great opportunity, maybe the best opportunity ever to practice the witnessing and to practice what all of the enlightened masters have advised, which is to be neither attracted nor repulsed, to neither believe nor disbelieve, but rather to hold this tension between the opposites and practice what the Buddhists call the middle way. So gosh, I could say a lot more about it, but I kind of feel like I should stop there. I know in the last couple of calls, I think we've talked about neither believing nor disbelieving, but every single day that is coming up for me in conversation with people. So I bring it up once again. I hope I'm not sounding too much like a broken record for you, but you know, I know so many intelligent, loving, wonderful people who are very conscientious and who really want to do the right thing. And so they research and they read the news and they watch things. And when I talk to them, I hear them going on and on and on about how awful this one person is and how this is, you know, bad and wrong. And I'm thinking, well, I know it looks that way from the one story, but if you look at the other story, it also has part truth in it, at least. So who knows? Who really knows? What is the truth right now? I don't think anybody knows. So really, if I leave you with any message today, maybe that's the one, is to really be aware, especially if you're getting any news from the mainstream media, any media, I would say, just be aware that so many people are putting so many things out there that are polarized and different spins on it. So be aware of neither and practice neither believing nor disbelieving. That's what I find gets me through, and I hope that's helpful to you. So Barbara, are you still with us?
Here I am, Brad. Yes, this has been quite wonderful and so needed. I feel so refreshed, replenished by all that you've been sharing with us, and to be in this exquisitely lovely group, it just feels so, I'm feeling like we're all being so divinely held. And, you know, you're talking about one of the things that you mentioned was wearing a mask versus not wearing a mask and how divided, you know, we are. And what I thought was, and the masks that we've all, the invisible masks that we've all been wearing.
Yeah.
And how reflective that is. And that really we're being asked to expand and open and allow and accept all aspects of the One.
Yes. Yeah, and beautiful, that, Barbara.
Yes, and that, you know, we're talking about the middle way, and as Leslie has taught us about walking the razor's edge and being, you know, neither attracted nor repulsed, or witnessing that we're being drawn to one side of the polarity or the other, and having the conscious awareness to realize, because I'm not aware, at least for myself, of being that neutral, that I no longer get triggered. So the piece for me is to have that conscious awareness of when I'm triggered, and, you know, I hear you saying to allow the energies to, you know, move through us. And for me, as these energies are moving through, to witness whether I'm being drawn into identifying with them or to try to avoid or abandon them by perhaps medicating in whatever way that might look like for any of us, and coming back to the witness and being aware that we're wanting to be in a place of, you know, acknowledging and allowing the feeling without being identified or without abandoning ourselves. And I think a big part of this for so many of us, you know, you talk about the victim consciousness, and, you know, we get drawn into identifying with being the victim, or we abandon ourselves. And for me, it's about allowing and embracing all of it, not having to try to get rid of it. And this is still a work in process, Brad. I'm not saying that it's a fait accompli by any sense, but, you know, it's rich with so much fodder for us all now to really practice presence and awareness and consciousness and kindness, loving kindness for ourselves and for each other. So I really thank you for this very timely and thought-provoking conversation. And the last piece that I would put in here, Brad, is, and I've shared this before and I'm not going to elaborate too much on it, but what comes up for me again is hearing no more war. And I really feel like that this is what the peace protests, the peace marches are about, that we can move beyond war, and that's inner war as well as outer war. So that's the last piece I'd like to share, that really the protesters are exemplifying for the most part how to express and share in order to make change in a very profoundly peaceful way, including, as you said earlier, the police coming together with the protesters has been so deeply and profoundly moving and has given me a lot of hope.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Barbara.
Thank you,
beautiful.
Brad.
Thank you for sharing that. Well, Barbara, you know, before we move into the questions, I'm thinking this might be a good time to make a couple of quick announcements. I know we wanted to let everybody know that the dates in July for the next calls, the Spiritual Weather Report call and the Squares call, have changed since we originally scheduled them. Because I won't be traveling in person this year, we've done a little switch for the month of July. So the Spiritual Weather Report will be July 12th. That's the next one. And the Squares call that Barbara leads is going to be July 26th. And that's on our website. If you need to refer to it again, it's on our events page at corelight.org. And also, the other thing I wanted to share is that I sent out an email this week. You may have gotten it, but it's a hold the dates announcement for the virtual course that I'm going to be offering. It's called The New Paradigm of the Heart, Transcending Victim-Tyrant Consciousness. It's going to be on Sundays, six different Sundays, September 27th through November 1st. So you can hold those dates. It'll be from 9 to 10:30 a.m. U.S. Pacific time. And the timing of this is really interesting. It leads right up to the presidential election in the U.S. We'll have that opportunity. That we'll have those six Sundays to really process the remaining aspects of the victim tyrant in our psyche and in our collective. And hopefully we'll make a difference. And I will send a brochure out one day soon. But meanwhile, if you want the information, it is posted on our events page at corelight.org. So I hope to see you there. It's going to be great. And Barbara, would you like to remind people about how to raise your hand and ask a question or
yes,
share?
Yes, Brad. Yes. So if you would like to share, you can either write in on the Q&A, if that's where you are on the web, or you can press star 2 to raise your hand, and I'll be able to see that you'd like to share, and we will then call on you.
And I also just want to add, please remember that we won't be able to get to all the questions, but we'll get to as many as we can, and we ask that you please, we want you to share or say what you want to say, and we ask that you please be concise, because we need to allow as much time as possible for others. And it is helpful if you write your question or sharing out so that you can hone it. And we did have some write-in questions, so why don't we start with those, Barbara?
Okay, good, Brad. Okay, so the first question is from Howard and Judy, and it's they share, it feels like the victim tyrant savior martyr rebel is on full display for us with the murder of George Floyd. Trump is the tyrant. George Floyd is the victim who is becoming the martyr. Former presidents and military generals as the saviors, and the protesters as the rebels. Is this a step toward collective awakening for which we have longed? How do you see this scenario?
Wow. Yes, absolutely. That is great seeing. Howard and Judy, thank you for writing in this question and sharing. And absolutely, I see what you see. Thank you for that. And I guess let me see, what can I say about it? We in the course I'm going going to teach, we're going to be talking mainly about these five archetypes that Howard and Judy have named. And if you've been with Core Light for a period of time, you know about these archetypes. But just for the new people on the call, I'll just quickly say that these five archetypes, the victim, the tyrant, the savior, the martyr, and the rebel, are the five key archetypes that make up any process that you can name, whether it's personal or collective. No matter how big or small the process is, it always comes down to a power dynamic, usually an abusive power dynamic, and you can find those five characters playing their roles in the drama. And when you can find those five characters playing their role in the drama, and when your part in each of those five, that's when you have a massive breakthrough in consciousness, and you can actually let go of an entire construct in consciousness that holds the third dimension in place. As I was saying before, the process, the primary process that everybody on the planet is working through is victim-tyrant consciousness. It's what the guides, the benevolent beings who guide our planet, it's what they want us all working on right now. They want us examining this stuff, processing this stuff, and releasing it for good, because we've done it. We've done these roles for thousands of years, and now it's time to let it go. It's the great graduation time. Howard and Judy, when you say, is this a step towards collective awakening? Absolutely it is. And what I would add to what you said is that this has to be the way we work. Now, we've got to look at everything happening and pull it apart and look at who's playing these roles and what does it mean and what's my involvement? Where am I charged about these things and how? And then we process that and we can extract ourselves. The only other thing I would add to this is that we also have to be very aware that this narrative that we're being given is from the mainstream media. All of the tyrants, all of the saviors, you know, we're being told to believe this stuff. And my belief is that we really don't know the truth. We really don't know exactly what's going on. What we know is what we're being told. And that's what whoever's in charge wants us to believe. And we've talked about this on so many calls, I'm not going to belabor the point, but we know that there is a concerted, conscious effort to divide and conquer. In other words, to pit liberal against conservative, to pit black against white, to pit men against women, feminine against masculine, you know, all these different polarities that we talk about. Wealthy against poor, et cetera, the list goes on. But that's being stirred up purposefully, because it's very easy to control a population when you can divide them and when you can get one side angry at the other. I don't know if you've seen this, but I do quite a bit of research, and there are many, many stories out there of at the peaceful protests, when they start getting violent and, you know, fires and shop windows being smashed and what have you, and violence happening, when the police have arrested some of these people, they found that they were from other states. They were like sent in to create disturbances. So, you know, there's manipulation happening. I mean, this much we know. It's pretty much known. It's a fact. We can say that there is manipulation going on. There is an effort to control the way we think, telling us what we should believe. So this is why I would say neither believe nor disbelieve. You know, process what you see, process what you're being told, process the charge that you have on it. And it's especially charged right now to say, yeah, that guy's the tyrant, or that organization is the tyrant, or, you know, let's blame that person, that organization, whatever it is. It's being manufactured. it's being pumped up so that we'll indulge in that. And our role as advanced spiritual seekers is instead to witness and to neither believe nor disbelieve, but just watch it play out for the stage play that it is. Barbara, did you have anything you wanted to share about any of that?
Yeah, I did, Brett. Actually, thank you. What I'm feeling so strongly in all of this as you're sharing is our need, our draw, and forgive me, I'm going to say it this way, our addiction to being on the right side versus the wrong side. And rather than staying in neutrality to be the right fighter, and I feel so much energy around needing to prove I'm right and you're wrong. So I just want to acknowledge that energetic, because it's what I'm experiencing. It's what I'm living, even with my daughter and my 13-year-old granddaughter coming to visit and watching the dynamic between them and the 13-year-old wanting to prove that she was right. So I just feel like, and of course we're talking about perfect timing with puberty and adolescence as well, playing into the dynamic, but I feel it on the collective as well.
Yes, yeah. I see the same thing you're seeing, Barbara. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And we can't hear what the other person is saying because we're so needing to prove that we're right. So we can't even be open to any other possibility. It's a true challenge. It's a true struggle, I feel.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. I see the same that you do, Barbara, and I think most people on the call will be resonating with it as well.
Yeah.
Very important. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Brad. Okay. So we, we do have a few hands raised. I'm checking the board as well to see. Linda says, thanks, Barbara. Your comment is very helpful. I've been noticing that there's a place at times for meeting an energy with equal and opposite force and when to simply remove our energy from the dynamic, that we feed what we resist and strengthen it. So I think that ties in beautifully with what I'm just saying. Thank you, Linda.
Yes, well said. That's one of the important teachings. Leslie used to talk about that quite a bit, matching a force with an equal and opposite force. Sometimes that is exactly what we need to do. And other times it's important to just duck.
Yes, yes, exactly, Brad.
Sometimes if you can duck, that's the best way to go.
Yes, yes. And
I
just
think maybe
to kind
that's
of
what she means by extracting her energy from it. That's ducking in a way.
Yes, I agree. And so we're all being called to be very present. And it's tricky because with a lot of this, we're being triggered on a very deep cellular level. So, God bless Leslie and all of our teachings, because this is really, and so many of the other spiritual teachers as well. I know there are so many who have been studying for so long, and boy, we need all of that to really stay present with all that is transpiring in our world right now.
Yes. Yeah, and let's just highlight what you just said and what we're circling around a little bit here. I want to talk about this for a moment before we go further. And that is that, one of the things that I think is happening for all of us is that, we'll see a news story like what happened with George Floyd.
Yes.
And we tend to, if we tend to project our own process onto the story. So he was obviously victimized, right, by the tyrant policeman who killed him.
Yeah.
And so I think what the whole world went through, the reason there was such an outcry was, you know, first of all, of course, compassion and grief and sadness and all the emotions that came forward from that. And then I think also, you know, essentially the entire world could resonate with victimization. We could all resonate with times that we've been victimized or that we've watched others get victimized. It's just such an old construct. And it's, you know, domination and submission, authority and submission. It's tyrant and victim. It's all the polarities we know about. So we resonate with that, and then we tend to project our own process onto it, and it becomes much bigger. So it's what I was trying to share earlier in the call of why these riots and why this whole collective process that we're all going through with this incident is so important, because it's our opportunity to clear that construct. And then we don't have to live it out in the same way. In the new paradigm of the heart, there won't be the same kind of gross victims and tyrants. And I'm talking, this is going to take time. It's not going to happen next year by any means, but we're going to take a lot of steps towards this in the next decade. There, as these events unfold, whatever these events are, they're going to unfold. It's going to be our opportunity to process this and start getting clearer. And eventually, I know some channels I respect and other mystics and seers that I respect, they say it's going to take several generations. It's going to take probably a couple hundred years before we really fully birth a new paradigm where it's truly based in the heart. And we're not having to live out those gross polarities as we are right now around abuse of power, victim tyrant stuff. So anyway, I share that just because it helps me to think about that and to put in perspective what we're doing and where we are as a collective on this timeline. We're at a time where we're really just beginning to move out. You know, we're completing this old way, and we're the pioneers. Those of us who are doing this work, we are the pioneers. We're on the front lines. And I feel like that's why it's important that we gather as we are and do this processing work and clear ourselves.
Yes. Yes, beautifully said, Brad. And that you've kind of said, but I really want to put emphasis on pulling back our projections and owning them. If we're feeling, you know, we're projecting out the victim onto someone, to pull it back in and identify where we're feeling like a victim or a tyrant or a martyr or a seeker or a rebel. Find that within ourselves. That's what we're being asked to do.
Exactly. Beautiful, Barbara. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Well, yes. Yes. Well, we must own it in order for it to no longer need to be playing out on the outside.
Right.
Okay, so we do have a couple of hands raised, Brad, if you feel complete with what you wanted to share.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think let's open up. And again, I invite you to be concise, please. Say what you want to say. Be as concise as you can so we have time for. And I also want to save a few minutes at the end of the call for a closure and a guided meditation. So
beautiful. So we have about 15, 20 minutes, Brad, just so everyone has that awareness. Okay, so the first person we're calling on is Chris Berlin. Chris, you have the mic.
Thank you, Barbara. Hello, everybody. hi, Brad and Leslie.
Hey, Chris.
It was so lovely to hear Leslie in the background. I could hear her during the meditation, and it made my heart just huge with a big smile. So it was nice to hear her. I'm sure I'm not the only one. So I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is I was able to condense my question to a full page of notes. And the bad news is I could only condense all of my questions to a full page of notes. So I'm going to try to be brief here. One is some things that I've been finding extremely helpful, and the other is really a question that I'm struggling with during these times, and a resource. The first thing I think I keep coming back to is a film that I really took to heart recently called The Forgiven with Forrest Whitaker and Eric Bana, who both have amazing performances. Forrest Whitaker plays Desmond Tutu in South Africa, and was when he was charged with the reconciliation project between whites and blacks during that time after apartheid, right after. And it's a powerful film. You know, there's a little bit of violence in it, but it really showcases the complexity of what we're talking about here among these two men who are at once in utter competition over proving I'm right and you're wrong, as Barbara said it so well, the energetic of that, but also how much gray area there is in these two men, and showing also the history of this very racist former prison guard played by Eric Bana beautifully. Anyway, I find that in some ways your heart breaks when you watch the film. I actually cried at the end. There's a courtroom scene, and just the tears just poof, just came out. But I felt like it was important for my heart to break watching this. And I'm reminded of Leslie, something she said often about starting Seeds of Light and working with the AIDS orphans. That really has been coming up for me quite a bit lately around all of this. And that is the moment where she broke down, her heart broke to the point where she said, what good is my enlightenment if I can't help others who are suffering like this? I may not do it justice in how I'm saying it, but I just keep coming back to that as sort of one of the big questions of how to be in the world and take action because your heart breaks, that it's heartbreak is not a bad thing. It's not something that we need to shield ourselves from, but I think we do need to know how to work with that and metabolize that heartbreak so that we can get closer to those who are oppressed and really be able to listen and almost empathize with their pain, but also be able to metabolize it as a response that really is helpful. The skillful solidarity, I think, doesn't mean ignoring the victimhood. But how do I sit in my privilege as a white male and have choices, whereas those who are oppressed have no choices? People who have to live with microaggressions every day of their lives have no choices with those things. And they may have choices maybe sort of in how they can metabolize the hurt and the injustice they feel. But I think, you know, where I sit with the big question here is right there with how can I be, you know, as sort of a privileged white man in America, more skillful in being in solidarity. And sometimes I think it's hard to let go of identifying with a victim to let my heart break and knowing full well that I can also have choices if I want to duck, quote unquote, or if I want to be present or not be present. You know, I really am taking to heart kind of my position and how much can I listen and really understand what it's like for someone who's oppressed. I've never experienced that kind of oppression, and I'm aware of that. And so this narrative of injustice that is happening regularly, I think I used to tell my late father, you know, I'm not an activist, but I'm an advocate and a spiritual one. And I feel the activist in me is struggling and fighting, saying, this has to change now, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm a little bit, I guess I'm embodying that tension. And maybe it's a healthy tension because I'm not going to abandon it or look away because it's hard. But rather put it to the test of my practice is important. But I must admit, you know, there are moments I feel really confused about where do I respond from? You know, how do I speak about this and how do I act? Some of the things that I found helpful. So anyway, I think the larger question there is how can I exist in solidarity without and yet also leave behind the victimhood that others don't have a choice in being? And I guess that's the one big question. The other things that I found very helpful, though, I've kind of been able to identify what's been helpful for me, and that is three categories: view, practice, and response. And the first one, view, I've been doing a lot with my meditation community around practicing chanting, and chanting being an embodied, alive process of breath, mind, intention, and vibration on the exhale that brings us out of the rhetorical mind and into an embodied way of being in the moment, and also cultivating intention as I sound the tone. And it can be as simple as chanting Om or Om Ahum, which is a Buddhist chant. And on each of those, to recognize that Om is the larger context. Om is the all-encompassing, awesome power of the divine within which all of these issues exist, rather than feeling like the enormity of our social challenges among oppressed peoples. It's not just social challenges. It's a human challenge. That is the context within which I have to insert my spiritual practice or insert the chant of Om, but to flip that narrative so that consciousness, spaciousness, the ability to sort of recognize Om as the larger space of sort of universal existence, and that is the container for all else. And if I can do that, then I can learn how to practice metabolizing the anger within that larger context and let my heart break in that space. And then practice things like the triangles. I loved, Brad, that you brought up the triangle. That has been one of the most important practices for me all the way back since 1997, when I, you know, first learned about these practices from Cor Light and Leslie. So very important. The middle way for me that came up there, you mentioned faith, was the word simplicity and effortlessness. And I found that all the effort, so much efforting going on to manage our emotions, so much efforting going on to do the right thing, say the right thing, to not feel like I need to be the one who's right in this injustice, but to settle back into a state of open simplicity and utter effortlessness, allowing things to be as they are so that I can be that artist to move forward and communicate and respond and act more wisely. So listening and speaking and staying with this, my hope is that a lot of these protests don't just dissolve, but that we really do stay with it. You know, the peaceful protesting and articulation and leadership. I think there's an opportunity right now. And I would hate to see this opportunity just evaporate because people get tired again. So anyway, I'll stop there, but I feel as if, you know, the teachings, Brad, that you and also Barbara, I really appreciate your input with the energetics piece. I think you said 100% what was so where I've been is needing to, this inner narrative of needing to prove I'm right and this group of people over here are wrong. But stay with the middle path, stay with that ascended state of what the truth is really trying to teach us. So I encourage, again, encouraging people to look at The Forgiven. It's a 2018 film. And I will certainly look into Earthling Manuel and contemplating putting together an interracial discussion group through Harvard Divinity School from a spiritual view of looking at these things. I think there's a great opportunity for everything that you're talking about to be also situated in our institutions of learning and so on. So there's a lot of dimensions we can I think put into practice and use skillfully. Anyway, I will stop there and yield the mic, but I feel so blessed to be with you all today. And this is such an important, profound conversation we're having. And Brad, you just hit the ground running so beautifully, and I really appreciate and honor you. So blessings to all.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Thank you so much for your beautiful share. I always really appreciate your sharing. And I know what my next movie is going to be. I can't wait to watch The Forgiven. Mm. Now, I haven't seen it yet. I remember seeing the trailer for it a while ago, and I really look forward to it. One of the most moving stories that I've ever heard in my entire life was one of the stories that came out of that Truth and Reconciliation Committee, you know, after the end of apartheid, which Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu orchestrated. And so I'm really looking forward to watching that movie, because my strong belief is that the entire world needs a Truth and Reconciliation Committee. Mm-hmm. It was such a profound, I don't know if anybody knows what it is even, but it was a way that perpetrators and victims could come together and try to find peace in a courtroom. Any perpetrator during apartheid could come, and if as long as the person was willing to tell the entire truth and really show some contrition and ask for forgiveness, the court would hear them, and the judgments against the people became legal and binding, so they could be forgiven mm-hmm. of their crimes if they really came with the true intent to find healing and you know, find a reconciliation, tell the truth and find a reconciliation with the victim. So, you know, how else are we going as a planet to find our way out of this third dimension and into the new paradigm of the heart? The only way through is with a process like that, where we mm-hmm. find a way to, you know, to speak the truth, to find a reconciliation, and to find forgiveness. You know, the key is the mm-hmm. forgiveness. And that's so much easier said than done, as most of us know. You know, true, you can say you forgive, but really to really have it embodied and really feel it and have it be in your cells, you know, that is a path to walk. And mm-hmm. most of our heroes in the world, like Nelson Mandela, are our heroes because they've gone through that path. You know, he learned to forgive his captors. Truly forgive them. Mm-hmm. You know, Gandhi did the same. Martin Luther King did the same, to forgive the oppressor.
Dalai Lama, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Dalai Lama as well, of course. And the young woman's name, Malala, from Pakistan. And mm-hmm. Other women as well. So anyway, that whole principle of the truth and reconciliation really touches me deeply, and mm-hmm. and so I appreciate your bringing that up. And also, you know, to just address what you said about seeds of light, mm-hmm. where Leslie said, "What good is my enlightenment if I can't help the AIDS orphans of South Africa?" And I remember we were all so deeply affected by it that we dropped everything we were doing and we just got started doing the work. And we're still doing it. You know, there's still a lot of work happening out here where right now in the midst of the COVID-19 thing, where people are in lockdown, the people in Acorn Hook, the poor area not far from where we live, where we do our service work, you know, they normally live on the edge. Even in the good times, they live on the edge. But now with lockdown, there's literally no money and no food. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's mm-hmm. a serious, yeah, there's a serious risk of starvation amongst a lot of people. So we've been focused on really just trying to keep the people that we care for fed, the vulnerable children and their families. We're just trying to keep them fed until this is over. Mm-hmm. But when I hear you talk about, you know, the things you were sharing, and when I think of Seeds of Light and what Leslie taught us through that, I think of sacred activism, which is what our friend Andrew mm-hmm. Harvey calls it, sacred activism. And sacred activism, to me, is one of the most important paths we can all be walking right now. And I feel like that's part of what we're all what we're circling around tonight, is what is our sacred activism? What do we need to be doing, each of us? You know, for some people, we know it's not our highest path to be protesting out in the streets. That's not who we are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yet at the same time, we really do need to find a way to get off the meditation cushion and to put our love and our spiritual practice into action, to do something to physically help in the world, to birth this new paradigm. And, mm-hmm. you know, your question is, part of your question anyway, was about, you know, how do I do that? How do I learn to be in solidarity with the people who need help or the situations that need help, whatever it is that's breaking our heart? How do I do that? And I know a lot of people have trouble knowing what to do. Yeah. And one of the things, Andrew wrote a book called The Hope, and I don't know if you've read that. It's a few years old at the moment. I think it was in 20. Mm-hmm. It was in 2014 he wrote it, but I recommend it to everybody, The Hope. And it's one of his best books. And in there, he has a guided meditation that he, you know, it's written, obviously, but it's a powerful guided meditation. And what he says is, follow your heartbreak. Mm. Not follow your heart, but follow your heartbreak. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you, you know, if you're somebody whose heart breaks when you see the plight of an abandoned animal or an injured animal, maybe that is your path, is to volunteer at the local animal shelter or to help with some kind of spay or neutering program, or I don't know, or you know, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of ways to help around animals. Same thing with children. If it's children that need help and that breaks your heart, then maybe that's your path, is to be a big brother or a big sister, or I don't know, something. It will each find our way, but when the heart breaks, the point of this is that when the heart breaks, that is spirit speaking to us, because spirit mm-hmm. speaks to us through the heart. So the path of spiritual awakening is literally learning to listen to the heart. You know, it's all about that. And so when we find that thing that breaks our heart, we know that that's powerful information coming from a higher source, coming from spirit or the higher self or whatever we want to call it. So to follow, to allow the heart to break and to follow that, mm-hmm. to me, that's how I can, as you said, be more skillful at being in solidarity with the people and the situations that need mm-hmm. our support at this time, and that allow us to put our love into action. Love in action is the tagline for Seeds of Light, because that's essentially what sacred activism is, putting our love into action. And it's something that we, you know, we all need to be doing now in whatever way we can. So I know for some people it's or maybe it's prayer. It doesn't always have to look like, you know, getting out there and marching or doing something that's really, mm-hmm. you know, very, very physical, although that's powerful too. So, and you also mentioned, you talked about leaving behind victimhood. And I feel like that's also very, very, it's a very important part of this, you know, because we tend to get mm-hmm. sucked in. when we start the path of empathy and compassion, in fact, I would imagine most people listening to the call are empaths of one degree or another. You know, we, all of us on this path are empathic. And so, we tend to get drained. We tend to get sucked in situations where we're helping, somebody or something that feels like a situation of victim tyrant. And so that is a path in itself, is to learn how to have those really clear boundaries, how to be able to stand up at the edge of the pit and reach your hand down into the pit and help somebody out without jumping in and wallowing around with them in the victimhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, that's what we tend to do, but it doesn't serve anybody. I mean, it might feel good in the moment, you know, to jump in, and yet it doesn't serve, because what happens is we just become a victim too, and we just lose all our life.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe that's the difference between maybe that's the difference between practicing empathy and practicing compassion. Sorry, didn't
you
jump
no
in?
maybe that is I feel it is a path. I mean, it is a path to walk. It's not something we learn to do overnight, but it's a practice. And we're going to be talking about that quite a bit in the course that I offer in September through November, because this is a place where we all need to work, actually. You know, we all need to learn, how do we walk this path? How do we move beyond our own victimization? How do we help others who are victimized that we have compassion for? Without getting drained, you know. So anyway, so I really, really appreciate your sharing, Chris. I think you've hit on a number of points here that are very important.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
And I'm glad I'm glad you weren't concise in, like, you know, a sentence or two, because I thought all the things you mentioned were important.
Okay, good. Whew.
Most definitely. And one of the things that came up for me as you were sharing so beautifully, Chris, is, you know, the Native American expression is, don't judge me until you've walked a mile in my moccasins. And we don't have to actually have had the experience of slavery or discrimination to imagine what that might feel like. And so I think that's a way that we can cultivate compassion. We can cultivate empathy. So, you know, I'm really grateful that you brought that up. It's like, you know, I have no clue what it feels like. But on some level, on some scale, from, you know, black to white and gray in between, we can relate to having been held back, held down, discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
On some level. So, you know, it helps us to really have great compassion. And again, I'll reiterate about pulling back, pulling in our projections of whatever we're putting out onto other. Because right now we're being so divided. And how do we find a way back to ourselves and to each other? So thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wonderful. Brad, I can
Thank
see
you,
that we're already at.
We're on the hour.
Time.
Well, that was our.
We're on the hour.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I want to thank Howard and Judy and Chris for the wonderful sharing questions that you asked, and I'm apologizing to those who raised their hands and didn't get their questions answered, or to anybody who wrote in and didn't get your question answered, I apologize. But please, I encourage you, please write your question down and send it in. I've gotten so much positive feedback about the new format. People really like having the questions written down. So I encourage you, please, if you have a sharing or a question, write it down and send it to us for the next call. So, Barbara, before we close, is there anything else that you would like to share?
you know, this has just been so incredibly rich. And that, you know, you said two of the things that I really wanted to address. One was empathy, which I did speak to, and the other was prayer. And the power of prayer. And for so many of us who are isolated, who may be at risk on one level or another, prayer is such a powerful contribution to the healing of the collective consciousness. So thanks, Brad, for letting me have that opportunity
Barbara.
To talk about that. Thank you.
No, thank you for your love and support and service. I'm always so grateful to have you on these calls and to manage it and all your wise words and your love that you pour out. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
So let's close with a prayer. Just a little 1 or 2 minutes here. And I just want to say one last time, remember that the date Spiritual Weather Report call has changed. It's going to be July 12th. And that is on our events page at corelight.org. So July 12th, we'll look forward to seeing you next time. And July 26th for the squares with Barbara. So let's all take a moment to close our eyes and take a few long, deep breaths and just relax. And let go of any emotion or thought processes that got stirred up while we talked. Invite you to just breathe deeply and find that place of inner peace inside. Let's all put our attention on the Shushumna, on that central core of light within us. And let's see it like a fluorescent tube of light glowing right in front of the spine. And remember, this is our core of enlightenment that is within each one of us. And I invite you to visualize and feel that core expanding, getting brighter and brighter and wider and wider. See it expanding to the point where it encompasses your entire body. So your body is literally sitting in the Shushumna. Feel what that feels like. It's very powerful. Feel embraced by your own core of enlightenment. And now, in your mind's eye, look around you at everybody in this circle. Dozens of people in this core light circle sitting in their Shushumnas. And let's realize that there actually is only one Shushumna for everyone. We don't each have our own Shushumna. There's only one. It looks like there are many, but the reality is there's only one. So at this level, we see our unity. So what I invite you to do is to merge your Shushumna with all the Shushumnas in the entire circle. Feel your oneness with everyone in this circle of love and light. Feel the power of our unity, the unconditional love that we are. And now I invite you to look out again in your mind's eye and see everybody in the world, 7.5 billion people, all in their Shushumnas. And I invite you to merge your Shushumna with everybody's so that you feel your unity with all humans. Feel how all-encompassing that is, and powerful to know that your light is one with the light of every person on the planet, that we are all made of the same thing, which is love. And now, lastly, I invite you to merge your Shishumna with the entire planet. Feel the entire planet Earth fitting inside your Shishumna and all life on her as part of you, as part of your core, her body, her living organisms within you, merged. Feel your unity with all life and with Mother Earth herself. And while we each hold this beautiful place, I call on the Great Spirit, the Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. And I call on all of the beings in the invisible realms who have surrounded us today in love and support. And we bow to you all. We thank you. We offer our deep gratitude for the gift we've received of this energy of love and light, this cocoon that we've been held in. We give thanks for the opportunity to share our love today in this time. We give thanks for these bodies that we wear, these beautiful, beautiful bodies, and this beautiful planet called Earth that we get to inhabit for a few years in these bodies. We're deeply, deeply grateful for all the experiences and all the growth, even the challenges and the changes. We find that place of gratitude within ourselves. And we ask for help when we need help seeing the gift and the opportunity in the challenges. And we offer a blessing. We give a blessing to the planet and to all who are suffering in one form or another, through hunger or emotional distress or war, poverty, illness, whatever it is, we send our blessing. And we send a blessing especially to Mother Earth, who supports us in so many ways and who's in a state that is challenging. And we share our love and our light with her. Deep, deep gratitude and blessings. And thank you all. Thanks everybody on the call. Thank you for collaborating in this beautiful field of light that we've created today. Leslie and I send you our love from South Africa, and we look forward to seeing you next month. Many blessings in the meantime. Alalaho. Bye for now.